Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Okay. Now, me and my lack of wisdom, it finally hit me yesterday after leaving the Bible study, was trying to live this out. You know, must be wise in my own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. Okay? But there was a part that I was missing. And there was a part where it says, and it will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Okay? So, with a few struggles I've had with health, I'm kind of wondering, like, okay, where's all this nourishment to my body? Oh, and health to my bones? And the Lord told me it's basically because not understanding it. And that's what the Lord says He's going to do. I should have been expecting that. Because He said, not because I'm trying not to be wise, I'm trying to fear the Lord, and I'm trying to resist the evil. That's not what does it. Okay, that's part of it. What really does it is, that's a promise from God, what He's going to do. And I need to believe that. And I really believe that's some of the issues why I still have them. Because I didn't get that part. I hope that helps somebody. So Lord, we want to lift up Duane as he brings forth your word. Lord, just continue to open up our hearts and our eyes to your word. Let this word just penetrate into us. And Lord, that, like myself, I forget so easy, Lord. Don't let me allow it to forget these things. Let them resonate in my heart and in my mind more, so I can glorify your name better. And I pray the same for each and every one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, James. Well, there's been a lot of mention of, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm going to bring up a little bit in a second.
Okay. A lot of talk about prayer this morning, and that's kind of where I'm at. And it's a little different. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you have in chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is all genealogy stuff. Boring, you would say. A list of people whose names you can't even pronounce. But in chapter 4, there's this interlude with Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. And it's like, you know, you have in chapter 3, the family of David. Chapter 4, the family of Judah gets into all of Jacob's kids and all this genealogy. And in the middle of all this stuff, Jabez is highlighted. And his prayer is highlighted. And I'm going to break it down a little bit, but we'll read from, I'm reading out of New King James Translation, but chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Behold, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me, indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested." I want to break that down. There's a lot in there, actually. Jabez, some say Jabez, but I've always heard Jabez. Doesn't matter. Tomato, tomato, potato. whatever works for you, I guess. First thing that's mentioned here is he was more honorable than his brothers. Not that his brothers weren't honorable, but he's more honorable. You can be born in sorrow, born in pain. His name literally meant one who brings pain. one birthed in pain, one who brings pain in the Hebrew. Imagine having a name like that. You come walking down the street and they're saying, here comes that pain. Boy, what a pain he is in the, you know where. Not a very good name, you know. But he was more honorable. He overcame this. And that's what we can learn from what I'm going to share. Born in sorrow, more honorable. Honor is a word here that's important. I looked it up. Honorable means drawing of honor and respect. Credible, a good name bringing distinction, a good reputation. In the Hebrew, it's deserving of respect. One who is credible, faithful, has integrity. Honorable. We can be honorable people. We should be people of integrity, right? People who are faithful. People who are credible. Respectful. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez. I bore him in pain. Pain is something all of us can understand. Pain is a language that every human being is familiar with. But you can overcome pain. You can be honorable. You don't have to be controlled by painful experiences in your past. Some people are. We as Christians don't have to be. It's interesting, you know, before I went into ministry in the early 80s, I was a counselor. I was a licensed clinical counselor at a mental health center in Northern Maine. Counseled all kinds of people. Of course, in the ministry, you counsel all kinds of people. And it's interesting how you can be working with a family. You can have one kid grew up in the same family who's honorable, respectful, faithful, credible, deserving respect, and have another one that's a total wreck. And they brought up in the same family. And you wonder, how come this one doing so good and this one is a total mess? It has to do with choices we make. Now, a lot of people play the blame game. I am this way because so-and-so did me bad. I'm this way, you know, it's the blame game. I'm this way, my parents treated me awful, I was abused. And maybe you were, you know, but can you get over it? In Christ, you can. I'm this way because I was bullied in school. I'm this way, you know, because my brothers beat me up. I'm this way because my teacher told me I was stupid. And you hear all these excuses, you know, people. But they made choices, and they got to live with the choices they made. Everyone today is the victim. You know, no one takes responsibility for their actions. They're a victim.
No accountability.
No accountability. So, and you know, the Marxist, socialist, atheist in power and institutions in our country love that. They love to play the divide. There's the victims and the victimizer. There's the oppressed and the oppressor, and they try to divide us with that. You can be more honorable than that. Amen?
Amen.
Victims. You ever heard of Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street? I'm the only one with that. He was a chaplain in New Orleans, in the old city, Bourbon Street, French Quarter, working mostly with drug addicts and drunks. He told a story about how he was dealing with this guy, just a pitiful drunk, slobbering, falling down, drunk. And he asked me, he says, why do you do this to yourself? You know, you are pitiful. This is terrible. You're just a stinking drunk. You know, why do you do this? He says, it's my wife. Your wife? Your wife? the victim. So he says, well, how, this guy was like 6'4", 220 pounds. How big is your wife? He said, oh, she's only 5 foot tall. He says, well, what does she do? Does she throw you to the ground and sit on you and make you chuckle up? No, but you don't know my wife. He says, well, I want to meet her. Bring her to meet me. So he brought his wife to meet him in the office. And Chaplain Bob met with her, listened to her for about a half hour. Looked to her husband and said, brother, pour me one too. That's bad. But the end of the story is he led them both to the Lord, and he stopped drinking, and she stopped nagging, and they stopped the whole blame game thing, and actually had a good marriage. You don't see Jabez getting into that. His prayer is, bless me so I can be a blessing. Bless me so I never cause pain. It's a good prayer. Pain is... the other thing with people in pain, they can cause a lot of pain. It's like a wounded animal that you corner, and they're going to lash out at you. You ever notice that? People in pain can hurt you till they get set free. And sometimes you're around these people that they lash out at you for no reason. You're going, wow, what? You know, they go up one side and down the other. What did I do? You know, what's going on here? But it's not you. It's them. They're in a lot of pain. And they'll just take it out on anybody that happens to be near them, you know. It's sad, but we can overcome that in Christ Jesus, amen. I preached a message years ago called Get Over It. A lot of people just need to get over it. You can. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 said concerning himself, forgetting those things in the past. You know, and he was a persecutor of the church. He condoned killing Christians. Forgetting those things in the past and reaching to the high calling of Christ. That's what we need to do. Don't dwell on the past. Go forward in Christ into a wonderful, beautiful future. Amen? So, in verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, our God. Oh, that you would bless me. I'm going to break this down. First thing, he prayed that you would bless me. You can pray that. I mean, we should pray that God would bless us. I mean, God wants to bless you. And you can pray that and recognize the need for God's blessings. We need God. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He's fine without us, to be honest with you. But we need him. We need him. You can't do anything for God. You can't do anything to help anybody. You can't do anything for yourself without God. So we need him. And without him, literally, we're nothing. So pray, Lord, bless me. But the attitude of Jabez is, bless me so I can be a blessing. Flow through me so I can be a blessing to others. Secondly, he prays, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. That's interesting. We need to pray that. Now, the devil's taken lots of territory. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Too much.
And he's a robber. He's a thief and a robber. He's stolen what really doesn't belong to him. We need to take it back. We need to say, Lord, empower us, empower the church, that we can take back our communities, that we can take back, enlarge our territory, that we can take back the United States of America, that we can take back our cities, our towns, our communities, that we can take back our schools, our universities, our colleges, that we can take our kids back in Jesus' name, that we can enlarge our territory. And we need to pray that concerning those who are in pain. Lord, give us the downcast. Give us the forsaken. Give us the homeless. Give us the hopeless and the addicted and the debilitated. Enlarge that territory that we can win the lost, that we can take back what the enemy has robbed you of, Lord God. Amen? We're saved for a reason. Not to just come to church on Sunday, which is good. I think you should do that. But we are also to occupy until He comes. Right? Jesus told us to do that. So, enlarge our territory. We can limit God. Amen? Don't limit God, because He's limitless. Nothing is too hard for Him. Amen? You know, last time I shared with you, I shared about steps to a victorious Christian life. Prayer was one of them. And I mentioned that a lot of us have the Holy Spirit tied up neatly in a box in a heart, and we don't release the Holy Spirit from within us. Jesus said in John chapter 7, he who believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. In verse 39 says, this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Out of our hearts. And in the Greek, it's out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit isn't to just be in you, He is, but He's to flow through you. We don't want to put a dam up to the Holy Spirit. Now, it's like a good illustration of this would be like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea receives great water. It receives the Jordan River. And Jordan River is living. It's living water. It flows. It's clear. It's good. It gets into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea has no outlet, has a good inlet, has no exit. The Jordan River flows in, and then it's just in the, they call it the Dead Sea for a good reason, it's dead. Nothing living in there. This is in Israel. And that can be like us. We can say, bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And we grow spiritually fat. But we need the Lord to bless us that we can be a blessing. That river can flow in us and not just lie dormant, but flow in us and through us. The world needs what we have. So, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. The next step. Pray, number one, bless me. Number two, enlarge my territory. Third, your hand, that your hand would be with me. Reggie mentioned that this morning in his prayer, the hand of God. And what's he saying? He's saying, I need guidance. I need direction. I need awareness of God's presence. I need His will, His hand upon me, His favor upon me. You need to pray for that. A parent, when there's danger, a parent will take their child by the hand. When you were little, remember, you go into a busy street in the city, and your mother, your father would take you by the hand, trying to protect you. He's asking for that. Lord, take me by the hand. Direct my path. Guide my steps. I need your help. And we do. We need God's help. We need His leading, His direction. Don't give God your plan and say, bless it. Ask Him for His plan and He'll bless it. Amen. You want to make God laugh? Tell Him your plan. He's got better plans than you do. I found that out. I mean, I had plans, you know. But I told you I was working for a mental health center. They were going to pay for me to go get my master's degree at Boston University. All I had to do was promise
the agency 4 years to work for them. They were going to pay the whole thing, and that sounded pretty good, but God was calling me to ministry, and I felt, well, if that's going to happen, I need to go to seminary, Bible college, learn the word, you know, that's going to cost money, you know, they're giving me a pretty good offer, but Lord, I know you're telling me I should do this, they're telling me I should do that. I obeyed the Lord, that changed everything. I got in my car, filled it up. It was the body of the car is scraping on the wheels. Rode all the way to Florida, to Southeastern University and Seminary. And I only had, it was a 4-speed. I didn't have third gear. I drove all the way to Florida. Going from second into fourth. But he got me there. He granted. He blessed my plan, but it was his plan, is what I'm saying. It was his plan, not mine. And he'll always bless the plan he gives you, you know. He doesn't have to bless the plan you give him. He says, your hand would be with me. That your hand would be with me. You know, when I was a kid, like many of you, we didn't have seatbelts, right? And it was mom's hand that was the seatbelt, right? And you know, back then, the dash was pure steel, too. I mean, you know, I'm surprised we ever lived. I ride down Prospect Street in Lancaster on my bicycle, no helmet. How did I ever make it? I don't know. What was that?
You had a blanket on the
fridge
too.
I did? How'd you know?
I did. We didn't have that anymore.
So, bless me, enlarge my territory, your hand be with me, and you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. We need to pray that. Keep me from evil. There is evil in this world. People try to deny it. You know, I had a guy in my church in Maine. He was always saying, life is good. Life is good. And he'd have that on his sweatshirt. Life is good. He had a hat. Life is good. He'd always respond to everybody, life is good. I said, you know, the only problem is to a lot of people, life isn't good. Life is hard. I mean, a philosopher once came up with a great analogy. Life is hard. It is. It's difficult down here. There's evil. But we can pray, Lord, help us to overcome evil. Keep us from evil, that we may not cause pain. Evil causes pain. It hurts. You know, before I gave my life to Christ, I caused a lot of pain for people. I did. Even my family. I mean, my mom and dad didn't know what to do with me. But pray. You know, pray. Prayer works. Amen. Prayer changes everything. Because God changes everything. Amen. So, he cried out to God, and God is able to change the present, erase the past, renew our spirit, bring a new day. Amen. That I may not cause pain. That evil would not harm me. That I would not harm others. Evil can infiltrate our lives, and sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we're not aware, but we're not exempt. And if you start noticing unforgiveness ringing up in your heart, deal with it immediately, because unforgiveness will turn, if not dealt with, will turn into bitterness. If that's not dealt with, it'll turn into hatred, total evil. You have to let the Holy Spirit deal with that so evil doesn't penetrate you. You know, there's a guy, I'll close with this, I guess. There's Steve brought him up the other day, Dave Reber. I met him. He came and did a men's conference in Maine. And he met with pastors personally on a Friday night at his men's retreat on Saturday. And he'd go into the schools here in New England. I don't know if he did any around here, but one thing he said is he would speak of his pain, and young people in school can identify, maybe not with his humor, his jokes, but they could identify with his pain. He led a lot of young people, a lot of high schoolers to the Lord. He's still alive. He's not doing too great right now. But Dave was in Vietnam. He joined the Navy thinking he'd end up on a boat. They threw him in the Navy SEALs. He ended up on the Mekong Delta in a PT boat shooting at Viet Cong. They were being shot at. He took out a phosphorus grenade and pulled it right here, and a bullet hit it, and they were going to burn the foliage of the phosphorus grenade. It exploded. It burnt away half his body on his right side. He jumped in the water, but phosphorus will burn underwater, and he said, you know, I noticed I was beside myself. He uses humor for his pain. He said, they put me on a stretcher, and I burnt through the stretcher. They put me in the chopper and put my dog tags in my mouth because they thought I was dead. I began to say something, and the pilot of the chopper freaked out. The chopper started going down. He said, Lord, this chopper's going to crash, and I'll be the only survivor. So they brought him to the Philippines to a hospital. They've done hundreds of operations on him to graft skin, he's got a fake ear. He played piano. We took his ear off. Said, I play my ear. So his wife came in to see him. He's all burned up, and he had a friend of his that was a burn victim too, and bandages all over. His wife came in, guy next door to him in the hospital, and threw the wedding ring on him and said, I'd be ashamed to be seen with you in public, and walked out. And he said, boy, that's what my wife's going to do. So he said, I decided I was going to kill myself. I pulled the tube, waiting to die, and all I did was get hungry. I pulled the wrong tube. So he says, my wife came in, and she looked at me and says, welcome home, baby. He said, I'm surprised you even want to be seen with me. Look at me, I'm totally ugly. She says, well, Dave, you were never that good looking to begin with. But he shares his story about his pain. And he overcame pain through humor. That's why I'm saying that. You can take yourself too seriously sometimes. It's more honorable in the eyes of God to overcome our pain in the blood of Jesus. To get over it. We've all been through junk. You know, we both can say we've been there one way or another. But in Christ, someone mentioned earlier, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Not some things, not a few things. All things. In myself? No. In Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray today that maybe we could take some tips from Jabez's prayer. That we could learn, Lord, to be more honorable than some. Deserving of respect. Faithful, credible, with integrity. That we could overcome pain in the name of Jesus. That we could live for you. That you would bless us, that we can be a blessing. Lord, that your hand would be upon us, guiding us, directing us, protecting us. That we would, that this church and every church in America, within the largest territory, that we would reach out and see souls come to Christ and set free from the hurt and the pain they're in. And Lord, deliver us from evil, that we may not cause pain to anyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 There we go.